college radio DJs during the 90s, hosts Keith and Steve, helped expose bands like Nirvana, Pavement, and PJ Harvey. They went to shows, interviewed musicians, and reviewed albums for various zines and papers. They worked security at concerts and once even did load-in for Phish. Now, they're dads. Whether you want to explore lesser-known music or take a trip down memory lane, tune into the new Dad Rock. Join hosts Keith and Steve as they navigate the ages together, sharing their love of music across various eras and genres. Always well-intentioned, often well-informed, seldom boring, the new Dad Rock will expand your mind.
Hey, rockers. Welcome back to the new Dad Rock.
Hey, Steve Bot.
The new and improved. That was ridiculous. So,
Steve Bot.
Anyone who tuned in last week, or maybe you should go back and listen to that one, because a lot of things have changed at the new Dad Rock. Keith was literally typing in cues to AI to create an episode on the spot while we recorded.
It was to make the episode
better.
We're
not using AI here. We're live. We are live, baby.
That's true. It's a bake-off between, well, AI and us. Good luck, Steve.
All right.
So we said we want to do segments. Let's start. First one. What's the lizard up to, Steve?
What is the lizard up to? Okay. Only one album has come out so far this year, Petrodragonic Apocalypse, back in May. They promised us two, and they said it was a yin and yang thing. So I don't know if the first one was yin or it's yang.
It's got to be yin. It's a yin-yang thing.
What we know about the next album is that, so the very end of Petrodragonic Apocalypse, which, as you may guess, is probably their heaviest. It's definitely their heaviest.
Yep.
Bigger, heavier than Infest the Rat's Nest. Hard on. But the last 2 minutes of the album are this, like, tribal kind of tool-inspired, somewhat electronic, almost industrial, like, do-do-do. Like, there was, you know, a direction had turned. Aranci Pazuzu did it on their penultimate track on their most recent album. But there's a movement going there, and both two of my favorite bands are going to drop something in that direction. That's what the Gizzard is up to.
You think they're going to make...
As far as I know.
Do you think the Yang part of the second album is going to be like kind of based on that riff or in that direction?
That's what they've indicated, and that's what all the intelligence points to. Look, they're on a European tour, finishing it up as we speak, and then they probably got to put some finishing touches on it and drop that on our asses.
Yeah, like the intelligence. The New Dad Rock has an extensive intelligence system running throughout the globe, scouting down the best and latest music for you. Not AI, Keith, real time. All right, next up, news flash.
So I thought we would have, like, every week, you know, we'd see something that was in the news so we could be topical and yet eternal. Anyway, what horrible news we start out with already the first time we try it.
Man, yeah, like, what was it, like 10 days ago on my Instagram feed, I saw all these posts about Gary Young who had passed away.
Gary Young. Who's Gary Young?
Pavement drummer. Pavement drummer. Our first couple episodes are about our most favorite band from the 90s, or one of them, Pavement, and he was the drummer of the original band. He recorded their first tracks.
Yeah, so Steve Malkmus and Spiral Stairs, a.k.a. Scott Canberg, were high school friends. They lived in the Stockton area. This older dude, Gary Young, had a recording studio. These two young whippersnappers go in there and they want to record their noisy, you know, guitar-based 2-minute punk outburst, and Gary Young played drums on it, and he became a legendary drummer for the first, you know, Watery Domestic, all those EPs associated with it, Slanted and Enchanted, and Watery Domestic, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's correct. The studio wasn't actually ready when they first went to record there. They actually helped him finish up the touches on it. I think it was in his garage of his Stockton place. He's probably, what, 15, 16 years older than them, so he was like...
I think he was school, like 30 and they were like 17 or something.
That sounds about
something
right.
Something in that neighborhood.
Yeah, you know, but apparently he was a power drummer.
But not creepy in any way.
I mean, it was what are we talking? 90, 91
yeah,
in California?
Yeah. Speaking of 90 and 91 in California, the Lost Boys, hello, Corey Feldman, Corey Haim.
Oh, interesting. Hey, let's not besmirch the Gary. But listen, so Gary Young was in other bands, in the hospitals, he recorded other people. I saw him live on the 2010 Pavement Reunion Tour in the Berkeley Bowl in Berkeley. Is it the Berkeley Bowl? What's it called? Berkeley Bowl, right? Whatever. So it was amazing. He did a couple songs. But he was famous for doing antics like handstands on the drums or right before he played. He'd go around and hand out food to people who were waiting online. He liked to get with the people. He was one with the people.
Yeah, so right. He set the tone. He recorded seminal entries into the punk rock, a.k.a. new dad rock canon.
Yeah. We'll miss you, Gary.
Yeah. So, R.I.P. Gary Young. Check out the early Pavement stuff, the sleigh tracks, if you will.
The sleigh tracks.
Some great drumming by our man. He's one of our best recruits, Gary Young.
All right, well, out with the old and with the new.
Holy shit, dude. That's horrible. You know what?
Hey, man.
I'm not going to edit that out just so everyone becomes like a Steve fan. Because they know Keith is horrible.
Hey, man, I'm looking forward. It's called the New Dad Rock. So any new albums or songs you've listened to that you want to share with the crowd?
Yeah, so I know we haven't put out a lot of episodes in 2023, so there's a backlog of albums. I mentioned a couple last episode. And one album I had, and this one kind of snuck up on me from literally nowhere, and this is kind of in that unhinged punk metal hardcore vein. Is this band called Judiciary. I believe they're from Texas, United States, and they have an album called Flesh and Blood. And so I'm going to backtrack a little. Anytime I hear about music, I'm reading an article or something gets recommended, I might not have time to listen to it. So I'll just find a song and I'll drop it into a playlist. So I have this playlist called Random Metal. And, you know, once in a while I'm in the right mood for it and I just throw that on shuffle. And this song came up and it like was ripping fire. Like, you know, I'm not going to say it was like Rain in Blood, but it was kind of like that fast, those 2-minute outbursts. But this thing hit me like a storm. And I, you know, so I texted my friend John and I'm like, yo, John, did you tell me about Judiciary? And because it seemed like a band he would really like. And he's like, no, I've never heard of this, but let me check them out. And the two of us for like a month straight, I think, probably listened to this Judiciary Flesh and Blood. They have two albums, but Flesh and Blood is the one that came out this year. Look, if you are like some dads and need to blow off a little steam and listen to some very loud and angry music, Judiciary is it. If you're the Christina Applegate character in Dead to Me, maybe you want to listen to some Judiciary. Anyway, that's what I've seen new this year. I know, Keith, you're going to lay some weird ass. And for me, it's weird ass, but for the reality, it's most popular, right? Like some weird, I don't know. Tell me what you're into.
An album I've been listening to is Travis Scott's New Utopia. And I know Travis Scott is looked down upon because of the deaths that happened at his concert. I think it was in Houston 3-4 years ago. You know, unfortunate events. But this is his first album in 5 years. 5 years. So does he only have two albums? I don't even know. But what I like about the album, I'm a pop guy. I'm like pop country. I like is the sounds. And they're kind of clean. And they were going for this big sound. And like, it's definitely like stadium-ish. It's definitely like got all different kinds of beats in it. He's worked with so many different people. The Weeknd's on it, Bad Bunny's on it. It's pretty cool. I like it. It's nice, easy listening. And I'm for people who like, I guess, pop rap, you know.
Yeah. So I don't could you put this on like in the backyard and at the family barbecue that you're having with your suburban neighbors and your, you know, hoity-toity community?
What volume level?
You know, loud, yeah, enough, loud enough for kids to hear it. Can we play it with, I mean, you know, it, in a mixed
can audience? Can you do that with any rap music or any music made by young people? I quoted Rage Against the Machine today at work, and I realized that was probably inappropriate. So, you know, I mean, can you, any music? It's like rock and roll in general and rap, you know, like, it's supposed to be scary and mean and challenge things and be out there and full of energy. So, no, you can't play it at full volume in your backyard, but you can play it at a soft volume at night when you're swimming with your kids in the pool.
Yeah.
Because it's got these clean beats. It's made for radio. Like, you know, I listen to radio in the car, you know, whether it's yeah, probably, night.
I bet it sounds really good. There's like a lot of space on it, so you can pick out some sound over here on the left side, something above you, behind you, on the right side, on the left side, a drum.
Yeah, you know, if you like Post symbol. Malone. Yeah, if you like Post Malone, you'll probably like this.
All right.
Right?
So.
Yeah.
So cool. So yeah. So the New Dead Rock recommends Judiciary, hardcore/metal, and Travis Scott pop rap. So you decide.
No, we should do a versus. All our fans right now should get on their phones, call us, and let us know. Judiciary versus Utopia. Next call.
Next call. Hello.
Oh, this is where AI could help. All right.
It's going to be a Butthole Surfer song. 22, 23.
So, okay, as we said.
I just watch one soap opera a day. And if he happens to come in, is that all you have to do?
Episode 70, 1970. What happened in 1970?
Dude,
do you even know?
Dude, that was so abrupt. So,
but you're doing puppet voices. I don't know what you're doing,
dude. For the three people that got that Butthole Surfers reference, cheers for the rest of you.
Three
for the rest of you. 22 going on 23. Anyway, yeah. So the new and improved New Dad Rock, not supported by AI. Let me add, hey rockers. So that's our thing. We have segments now. So what is the gizzard doing? What's in the news? What's new?
And then the year. Whatever episode number it is, preceded by 19. 19. The average age in Vietnam was 19. remember Paul Hardcastle?
Yeah, I do remember that song.
Dude, I love that song. I think it was, I'm going to guess 86, 87. It was like kind of. We played it on my friend Chris's dad's. He had like this super awesome record player that was inside of a cabinet built in. It sounded so good. Mm. 1970. What's up? What happens in 1970 that matters to us?
I mean, 1970. Like, what was going on? The Vietnam War. Rolling Stone was creating classic rock music, essentially, right? So everything that, you know, is now played on FM radio and the classic rock channel on Sirius satellite radio and XFM and all that crap happened. It's just crazy to realize the diversity and how extreme some of the things that were so popular and survived to this day are.
You know, we can help our audience by going over some news items from 1970 related to music. Did you know that in 1970, September, Jimi Hendrix died.
Jimi Hendrix died in September of 1970 in London. In October of 1970 in London, Pink Floyd, Adam Hart, Mother comes out.
Did you know that in April of that year, the Beatles broke up?
They broke up and Let It Be, their final album, right, came out in May. Was that their final album or was that like odds and ends that they compiled and made it their last album? Do you know, was Sgt. Pepper their last?
No. That was in the middle. No, I think Let It Be was the last episode. They were recording it, but I think they recorded it separately.
Or Abbey Road, excuse me.
Yeah, Abbey Road was the last one, wasn't it?
I believe Abbey Road was the last one recorded. Let It Be came out last, but I think it was like odds and ends that they had put together.
Yeah, I think that's
so correct. Nonetheless, a news item of 1970, the Beatles break up in April and May. So the world is their oyster, and who's the biggest competitor in 1970 to the Beatles?
Is it Zeppelin?
I mean,
Zeppelin 3 comes out in October.
I would say maybe, you know, historically people always say, you know, oh, are you a Beatles fan or are you a Stones fan? The Stones, crazily enough, did not have an album come out in 1970.
That was probably the first year that didn't happen.
Yeah, but
since they started.
But this is where they were. They were in between Let It Bleed in 69 and Sticky Fingers in 71. Possibly their two best albums. So
possibly.
That's what was going on in 1970.
Whoa! Do you think Let It Be is a joke on Let It Bleed? Oh, conspiracy theory. Beatles, Stones. You heard it here first. April of 1970, Miles Davis Bitches Brew comes out.
So the same time the Beatles are breaking up, Miles Davis Bitches Brew. Miles Davis, man, what a crazy career and what a dad rock, new dad rock tangent, I would say. Maybe he deserves his own episode at some point.
Didn't we record his own episode and it's somewhere in the cobwebs of our minds?
Well, Miles Davis is so much, you could talk for 3 hours about him and not even scratch the surface because he had such a wild, varied career from the 50s to the 90s.
Yeah, the first half of the 70s was, I think, peak Davis, at least for me. That's why I love.
Yeah, he basically invented, you know, the acid jazz, the fusion. You know, he was one of the, you know, more popular purveyors of it anyway. And, you know, before that, he was more a traditional jazz player back in the 50s. And then in the early 60s, he had a totally different band or multiple bands. And then in the 70s, he went into the rock era. And I mean, Bitches Brew for his like psychedelic fusion rock era, I would say is probably tip top.
Yeah, I mean, I like Agharda and Pangaea, which were sets recorded in Tokyo, I believe, 72 or 73. But that's not the year we're talking about. We're talking about 1970. You know what other band was big then that no one talks about now, the young kids don't know about? The Doors.
The Doors.
You remember The Doors?
I do remember The Doors. And the Doors are one of those bands, they're uncool, right?
I think they're unheard of. The young people I work with, they're in their 20s, and I've asked several of them if they've heard of The Doors, and they never did.
I think there's two things about that. One, that surprises me because, you know, Val Kilmer, Oliver Stone, that movie was, I thought, pretty seminal as we grew up. Also around that era, and, you know, maybe we'll get back into this episode 90, but The Lost Boys, and I think... People Are Strange plays an important role in that movie. And there's a Morrison poster where the vampires live. So I thought, you know, I think of The Doors as one of the big, you know, if there are, you know, 10 classic rock bands from the 60s into the 70s, I would think The Doors would fall in the top 10. You know, you could rattle off a bunch of them right now, but, you know, Led Zeppelin, the Beatles.
Well, we did already. Yeah. We listed all that stuff that came out that year.
Right.
What the thing is that Jim Morrison was like almost the prototypical rock star with the leather pants, the you didn't know what was about to happen. He's drunk, poet, handsome.
Yeah.
Police presence.
Yeah. You know, at the... pre-Axl Rose. I'm sure Axl Rose got some of his shtick from there. And, you know, that he's not the only one to do it. But look, it's an entertaining movie, The Doors is. And, you know, The Doors have... I will defend them, man. I know it's not cool, too. But I think, one, Jim Morrison as the prototypical rock star, awesome. And two, they have some great songs. Some people, you know, they have that toy organ of Ray Manzarek. Like, okay, I get it. And yeah, he's a flamboyant diva and maybe you're not into it. But I think there's a place. Yeah. Not everybody has to love it.
Sure, but check this out. I think I got in The Doors because the movie came out, which was 1991 when I graduated high school. And I remember listening to them. I got into them in college. So if you think about the people I spoke to, it's 2023. They'd be 32 years old. They were born. Like most of these people in their 20s. Well, all the people in their 20s weren't born when that movie came out. So there's no reason for them to have seen it. And I read Robbie Krieger's... Krieger? Krieger?
Krieger.
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 Krieger. Krieger, Set the Night on Fire, Living, Dying, and Playing Guitar with the Doors. It was an awesome autobiography. You know how much I love those. What was interesting is he tells a story how he met Tiger Woods in 1997 when Tiger's caddy Fluff introduced them. So it's 1997, Tiger Woods, and hey Tiger, this is Robbie Krieger. You know, the Doors. What's the Doors, Tiger says. It's a musical group. And Tiger says, sorry, I don't know the music. So even then, they're almost unknown. But again, one of the top 10 most seminal or, I don't know, like, what's the word? Like the form of, like when you think of a rock and roll band being dangerous and on edge and unique and poetical, that's the Doors.
But around the same time in a band who kind of was running parallel on the East Coast was the Velvet Underground. So the Velvet Underground puts out Loaded in 1970, their final album. Velvet Underground's first album is called The Velvet Underground and Nico. It's produced by Andy Warhol. Nico is listed as Chanteuse, but she's a German model, and she sings, I think, on three songs on the album. Some amazing songs, haunting, just awesome Teutonic vocals. Anyway, Nico and Jim Morrison had a fling. I don't know if it was 1970, but definitely in the late 60s. So there is the connection and the rivalry of those groups. Obviously, the Doors was huge. The Velvet Underground, the story is they sold 1,000 copies of their first album, and every one of those 1,000 purchasers formed their own band.
Yeah, isn't that the same? A similar story with the Ramones playing in England?
Yeah, but the Ramones are several episodes ahead, Kevin. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Don't give away the AI, Steven.
Yeah.
Check this out. This is an interesting thing. So the 1970s, you know, one of the first bands to use a Moog was the Doors. Can you believe that? A Moog, which is a crazy electric piano thing? A mono whatever?
Yeah. So
it's amazing to me.
So I would say one of the things about the 70s, and it's interesting that we're kind of drawing the line and starting an inspection by the year in 1970, is it was a big turning point.
It was.
So you had the Doors, they finished. The Beatles, they finished. The Velvet Underground, they finished. But at the same time, there was a new sound that was bubbling up, and that was in the form of the Grateful Dead. So also in 1970, American Beauty and Working Man's Dead. For me, the top two albums. I know the Grateful Dead aren't known as an album band, but Working Man's Dead and American Beauty are hands down their best two albums. Both of them come out in 1970. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have David Bowie, The Man Who Sold the World, which is kind of acoustic oriented and obviously made famous again for people of our era by Nirvana. Unplugged. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then also in February of 1970, back at the beginning, speaking of beginnings, Black Sabbath debut album comes out, and essentially with that, metal is born.
You know, the 70s, it was way different, right? Like we were talking about how the Doors had a lot of police presence. He got arrested. He punched a cop. Cops punched him or maced him. There'd be riots. Back then, you know, the Doors' last show was in December of 1970 in New Orleans.
That was an era where, you know, profanity and pretending you were, you know, sticking your thumb through your pant belt buckle would get you arrested. Now,
yeah, to close out on the Doors and like the 70s, Krieger tells in his book about a University of Michigan show where, like, as the crowd booed them, there was one guy in the audience who just loved Jim's defiant attitude, who was just sneering at the crowd. I'm not even sure that he was playing. Like, he was known to kind of like be drunk and not sing parts, and they just play without him. Mm-hmm. But basically, the other person in the audience who loved what was happening with this crazy persona on stage was a gentleman named Jim Osterberg,
better known as Iggy Pop.
Yeah, man. I'd love to see Iggy Pop, young Iggy Pop, watching Jim Morrison. I mean, like, he got to see the Doors. How cool is that? He's like direct transmission from the Doors. So when you see Iggy, you're one way, one step away from seeing the Doors. Yeah,
well, I've never heard that story. That's a new story to me. Perhaps it's well known. But that right there underscores my point from earlier. The Doors are worthwhile. I know they're not some people's cup of tea, but you can't write them off. They're seminal. And the new Dad Rock is sticking to it. So we mentioned a ton of albums that came out in 1970. We tried to put it in context and see that it was the beginning of a new era. And, you know, Rolling Stone took it one way and all the corporate FM stations took it a similar way. And the new Dad Rock is going to navigate the 70s with a lot of these bands that, you know, maybe Time forgot or only have a cult following. And a perfect example of that would be the band Can. Do you know Can at all? C-A-N?
Yeah. Is it a German, like, I don't know, percussion band or industrial band or non-singing band? I never really understood it.
Yes, they're German. They started in the late 60s doing art films. So they're, in a way, the German Pink Floyd. But they didn't evolve in the same direction that Pink Floyd did.
And that concludes episode 70 of the New Dad Rock. We hope you enjoyed our exploration of the iconic music from the year 1970 and our discussion about the Doors.
The Doors.
As always, rockin' dads and listeners, keep the spirit of those timeless tunes alive in your homes and share them with the next generation. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. See you next time on the New Dad Rock.
Wait, what was that catchphrase we used to have?
Navigating the ages together.
Navigating the seas of
life. Sailing the seas of cheese.
Life bends through the hourglass.
The New Dad Rock
is in your mind.